Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Is there a second permanent coming for crowdfunded TV? Angel Studios, the new VidAngel spinoff, believes so. In fact, so believes, and that's why they raised $5 million last week via crowdfunding. What new TV series and specials will get going from this campaign and others ahead? Angel Chief Executive Officer Neil Harmon replies when he joins me next in Internet Radio Exclusive. We introduced you last spring to Loop, the video art network running through smart TV products. Catch up on Loop with founder and chief executive Doc Bustelo next half hour. And our final March 2021 episode completes with a focus on Mahalia, Life's a Hot Times original movie on music legend and humanitarian Mahalia Jackson. We'll meet up with executive producer Linda Berman 1 hour from now. Also ahead, back time for Warner Media's former CEO, Constance Wu's next TV adventure, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, also presented on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Yes, can you believe it? We are in the final day of March 2021, and on this Wednesday, we welcome you to a special 90-day edition of the program about TV's current and future. 61 degrees at the top of the hour. Welcome to all our Jewish listeners who are completing the first half of Passover today. 4 days down, 4 days and nights ahead. We have a sensational lineup for you, and we will get started. And first, I want to let you know that you have a great chance to be part of the program, and we invite you to. Very simple. Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room. It's up and available for you right now. SimonApple04, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And as always, while the promo is on the air, you can be with others by using Facebook Timeline. It's so simple. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio speaker to the screen. Follow the instructions. Up, you'll be live with you. Neil Harmon from Angel Studios, live with us from Provo, Utah, after these news notes. When Warner Media was Time Warner, Jeff Bukes was its top executive for a decade. Bukes, who departed Time Warner 3 years ago, is now involved with Waverly Capital Acquisition Corporation, a special purpose or SPAC venture, raising $300 million through an initial public offering. Bukes, joined by Fubo TV Executive Chairman Edgar Brockman Jr. and board member Daniel Leff, want Waverly to invest in one or more projects in the TV, sports, or entertainment fields. In other SPAC news, Vice Media operates the Vice TV and individual programs for places like Showtime, HBO, and others. Is there a deal to go public through 7GC and Company? That's according to the information website. No comment this hour from either Vice Media or 7GC. Fresh off the boat, co-star Constance Wu is taking a fresh plunge into TV content creation. Wu will form her own production company, with Hasbro subsidiary Entertainment One getting first dibs on whatever her adventure generates. Currently, Wu has two co-starring series commitments for Amazon, Anthology Solos and Suspense Tale, The Terminal List. Now some quickies, Home and Garden Television Discovery Plus will carry a special takeover miniseries edition of popular favorite Hometown starting May 2nd. American Gods star Neil Gaiman says discussions are underway to continue the just-canceled Star series elsewhere. Sarah Michael Gellar will star in Hot Pink, a new series contender at Amazon. And in the last couple of moments, we learned that HBO Max will turn Crew Tribe miniseries The Staircase into a scripted miniseries with starring Colin Firth. That is just breaking news. And that is news notes for today. A couple years ago, we introduced you a venture called VidAngel, which had two ideas in mind. One, develop family-friendly programming, and the other, bring on movies, popular movies, and TV shows in family-friendly style through a special editing process. Well, the latter did not serve well with a number of major motion picture and TV studios, and they sued the company, and it turned into a whole batch of legal hassles. Well, while the legal hassles did not turn out well for VidAngel, the production of shows did, specifically a show called The Chosen about the early life of Jesus Christ. It made the air, it got 100% score from Rotten Tomatoes, and it made a lot of money for Angel. Now, Angel has formed a new company called Angel Studios that is crowdfunding new TV series and other programming. And joining us live to talk about how it is doing so far, as we had him on a couple of years ago, the chief executive of Angel Studios and formerly VidAngel, Neil Harmon. Neil, welcome back.
Thank you, Simon. Thanks for having me back on.
It is a pleasure. So, Neil, talk about the $5 million you raised last week for crowdfunding, and how is it going to go in terms of putting new shows on the air?
Yeah, you bet. So we decided that the best way to rebrand our company, because VidAngel Inc. has been renamed as Angel Studios Inc., was to raise a round from the crowd, just as we asked the shows to do. And so we asked investors and fans to invest the crowdfunding limit of $5 million into Angel Studios, and that happened in a matter of days, and it finished up last week. It's way oversubscribed. We also launched a number of projects right now that are crowdfunding. One's called The Shift. Another one is called it's called Let's Get Epic. And then there are two that are gauging interest. One's Dry Bar Comedy, and the other one's Tuttle Twins.
Now, what are these series, Neil, and where will they play? How will they reach viewers?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the different series, it depends on the series. So Dry Bar, it reached profitability through a lot of different channels. It's available on Sirius XM. It's on Samsung Smart TV. It's on Facebook, YouTube. It's on the VidAngel app. It has its own app where people can tip comedians. And so it has its own advertising platform for the Dry Bar brand. It's stand-up comedy that's funny for everyone. And people love it. It just got picked up by some other major providers. The Chosen, same thing. It has its own app. And The Chosen is a multi-season TV show about the life of Jesus Christ. And the way that it gets funding is through DVD sales and merchandise sales, and then a program called Pay It Forward, where people can pay for other people to be able to watch it for free throughout the world, and so that it can reach, that the message can reach more people. So it's kind of custom to the project. With Tuttle Twins, we because that's a kids show, we imagine that a lot of the revenue from it will come from merchandise. There's a little character in there that's a raccoon, and we've already got kids who are asking us for the raccoon plush toy. So it depends on the project, but great question.
Mm-hmm. How did The Chosen, which I understand is now going into production for a second season, how did that figure into your decision to form this new studio unit and to make crowdfunding the centerpiece of it?
So The Chosen was our very first scripted series. And it was crowdfunded by about 19,000 people who invested over $11 million to make season one of The Chosen. And it has been a smash success. It has over 100 million views. And as you mentioned, it's highly rated. It's not just good, but it's good. It's well made. And so we couldn't be more pleased. We anticipated that when the crowd invested in season one, that like Dry Bar, we would need to continue investment for at least through season three. And we were shocked and surprised to see that the sales of season one funded season two by themselves without additional equity investment. So we couldn't be more thrilled that that's our very first scripted series. We're just really happy with it. We had planned on doing the crowdfunded studio before then, but it was fortunate that we had that kind of growth to help us get out of the lawsuit, settle with Disney, and move on as a company. So it's just been fantastic.
And when will the second season debut?
It debuts on Sunday for the public, a little earlier for those who have paid it forward. Those who are in the inside know get to watch it early this week. And the trailer just came out this morning. It's available on YouTube and Facebook. You can check it out. It's also in the Chosen app. And then on Sunday evening, at 8 p.m. Eastern time, we air a live stream for episode one of season two of The Chosen on Easter Sunday.
Absolutely perfect timing. Can't do better than that.
Yeah, it's good timing for this show in particular.
Mm-hmm. Angel Studios, the new venture, but formerly was part of VidAngel, now on its own. That's the subject of our first half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming your way live on the final day of March, 2021. Tom and I'm with you live from New York. I'm joined in Provo, Utah, by Neil Harmon. He is the head of Angel Studios, and if you want to have a question or comment for him, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later this hour, we will have our classic trivia segment. We hope you'll be tuning in for that. We have three prizes in play. We've got the new book by MSNBC anchor person Richard Wee, who was on our program Monday. Enough About Me, The Unexpected Power of Self is powered by Zondervan Books. Also, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace soundtrack by John Williams, and Wycliffe Jean, Carnival Volume 2, Memoirs of an Immigrant. It's all coming up near the top of the next hour, so stand by, because you could be our next trivia winner. Since the announcement of Angel Studios, are you getting proposals from independent producers who see what you're doing and want to align with you?
So, in fact, Simon, we've been getting them increasingly, even before we announced Angel Studios, where people were watching what we were doing and they said, something that you're doing is special. Can we be part of it? We have real, you know, projects that haven't gotten traction but are really good, or that we want to make them in a way that the traditional industry doesn't want to make them. And so we've just been having an increasing tsunami of interest. But as we've announced the studio, that has just increased. And what we believe is that the audience or the people, the fans, the community are better at choosing the win than a handful of Hollywood executives. You know, 80% of Hollywood movies fail at the box office, and we say, well, if the crowd can better predict values in the stock market, better predict, if you ask the crowd, if you've read the book Wisdom of Crowds, there's a test in there where they take a jar of jelly beans. And they ask people to guess how many jelly beans are. And if you ask enough people in the crowd, they get it right. And there's lots of instances of this. And when it comes to media, there couldn't be a better match than to have the crowd decide what gets greenlit and what doesn't. And so creators are catching the vision for that and how they can build a community that they own themselves, a project that they can build up around their own media idea. And that's what Angel Studios is enabling for creators and for communities.
The crowdfunding as you build up this catalog of original programming, is the idea to self-distribute it or to forward these projects to Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or Amazon or other mega content services or other smart TV services?
So Angel Studios will definitely be a platform where this will be distributed, and that is where these projects are making the most money, because we've tuned in the tools for the creators to make money off the content. But we encourage the creators and we also back ourselves distribution in other formats. The Chosen Season 1's available in 3,700 Walmarts. It's available on NBC's Universal's Peacock. It's available on Fox Nation. It's available on the Bible app. We look at each media brand and each opportunity, and we want to get it as wide and successful distribution as possible, because we as a studio, we want the creator to succeed, and we want the investors who back the creator to succeed. And because when that happens, then we as a studio will be more successful in attracting the next projects and the next wins.
Mm-hmm. Neil, how do you size up the crowdfunding and equity crowdfunding scene now than, let's say, a couple of years ago? When we had our last discussion on this program?
Yeah, so there's been some really great things happen in the crowd. One of them is that the rule changes just happened this year, where they increased the crowdfunding limit for the lowest tier from 1 to 5 million, and then for the upper tier from 50 to 75 million. So Congress and the SEC and the rulemakers are seeing some opportunity here, and they're giving it a little bit more legs. So that's a big change that opens up new opportunities for filmmakers. We've also seen something else happen. We've seen some misses. We've seen some people who took advantage of the crowd, asked for too high evaluations, and you know, just thought as easy money. It's not. It's not. It's strategic money. It's the actual audience, and so we've taken a very conservative and investor friendly approach to valuation and everything else, because we want all the players to win in this process. So there's been a proliferation of crowdfunding, and there's good rules changes that are happening right now, and so we think there's lots of opportunity ahead, especially for those who are willing to look at this and invest as a long-term strategy rather than just as, let's go ask the crowd for money because we can't get money from sophisticated people. So, which is not the case here. These creators are getting the money from the people who will help market their projects, back their projects, and be their greatest supporters.
Now that you have a bigger crowdfunding limit, as you said, like $50, $60, $70 million you can do in one shot, is the game plan going forward to have rounds that go bigger than what you did last week with the $5 million? Let's say the next round, whenever you do it, let's say this summer, this fall, is $10 million, or the round after the next year in 2022 goes to $20 million. How do you sort of see your crowdfunding strategy from here?
So I would ask you to look at it in two ways. One is the Angel Studios, Inc. company, which we did a crowdfunded round for $5 million. And we did that specifically to highlight what we're doing. Then the other one is the actual project. So every single one of these projects, the Chosen LLC is its own company, Tuttle Twin Show LLC is its own company. Every one of these projects is its own company, and it's raising money for the crowd. It sets a limit of what it needs for its budget. And then if it succeeds at reaching that limit, then it gets green lit. If it doesn't, then the money gets sent back to the investors, and we saved the pain of making something without knowing beforehand if it was going to be successful. And so what you're going to see over the next 5 years from Angel Studios is our goal is to make over $1 billion of content over the next 5 years. And it's going to be in lots and lots of different media projects and entities. And then the mothership / technology of Angel Studios, Inc. is going to facilitate all of that activity in the market for all of those different creators. Mm-hmm. And we anticipate there's going to be, you know, in order to reach that goal, we're going to need a new fund around 300 projects.
Uh-huh. 300 projects a year or 300 over the next 5 years?
300 over the next 5 years. Yep. That's the goal, is that 300
along
projects
the way,
come to us and they raise those funds. Yep.
Neil, along the way, do you see Angel doing the kind of program development deals with individual creators that you see now with the motion picture studios, with the likes of Warner Media or Disney or individual services like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, like the Constance Wu deal that we had the news note on earlier this afternoon?
Well, we feel like those guys have lots of money, and that's a very bloody ocean in business vernacular, meaning there's lots of players who are jumping into the SVOD space to ask the next customer for $5, $6, $10, $15 a month to be able to access their content. There's a lot of players that are there, and that's not where we are, and that's not where our creators are. So we're gonna enable these creators to fund their projects and make them profitable, provided that they're good and that they have a passionate following. We're gonna provide them the tools to do that. And there might be instances where it makes sense to go ahead and license some of these projects to some of the companies that you mentioned. Just like I said, we licensed The Chosen to NBC Universal to put on Peacock. That will happen. But ours is a very, it's a very different model, and it's going in a different direction than the rest of the industry is going right now.
We're speaking with Neil Harmon. He is the head of Angel Studios. That's our topic for this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Neil joins us live from Provo, Utah. Simon Abbon with you live from New York, the other side of the country, where it's 61 degrees at the top of the hour, getting a little gray outside as we go on. And if you have a question or comment remaining minutes with Neil, make the phone go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Brand new Latin Music Network is coming aboard called Latido, and it'll be running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices very soon. We're going to talk to the president of the company behind it, Mitu, Stephen Briggs Brooks. He'll be on our show coming up a week from Friday, April 9th. Also, Disney Plus has a special Earth Day presentation coming along that James Cameron of Avatar and Titanic fame is involved with, called Secrets of the Whale. The co-executive producer, Shannon Malone DeBenedictis, will be joining us. That's all coming up a week from Friday. That's Friday, April 9th, right here, one of our first April episodes on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Neil, as you know, there is now a lot of conversation about another way to get entertainment and other things launched, and that is cryptocurrency, blockchain, and in particular these NFTs or non-fungible tokens. We had this movement a couple of years ago with companies like Singular DTV. We followed it. There looked like some TV products were going to happen. They didn't. But now it looks like with NFTs, it's coming back. We did a story last week about the fact that Beacon Pictures, the company behind Air Force One, another major box office blockbusters, is decided to do a show funded by cryptocurrency NFTs called Hold On for Dear Life. The filming's going to start this August in Puerto Rico. We're trying to get Beacon on the show to talk about this because they have not come out with a formal press release. But I was curious, what do you think about cryptocurrency, blockchain, NFTs? Do you see that being part of Angel Studios at some point, if not now, later?
It's a funny thing. The founder of Twitter, I think his very first tweet on Twitter as an NFT is going for over $2 million right now, for the last time I checked on an auction. So NFTs have generated tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue now for the NBA and other places, and it's a really exciting technology because it creates a scarcity in a digital world where normally in a digital world you think of scarcity as something that when a copy of a file is so easy to make that there's no scarcity there, that the file's just it can be copied umpteenth times, but NFTs make it possible to have just that one, like the Michael Jordan rookie card or whatever rookie card. You get to recreate that feel of scarcity and of somebody owning something that matters, and being able to verify that it's the only copy and will ever only be the only copy. So it's an exciting technology that we're very much looking into, and we just see so much potential around that technology.
Do you see an equal amount of opportunity or possibility out of advertiser support in some manner? We know that a number of advertisers now are looking into creating content for smart TV sets, for devices, even for network television. Procter & Gamble announced earlier this week a new project in terms of trying to expand diversity on TV in different ways. We're hearing more about branded content, branded entertainment. Where do you see advertisers fitting in, if they do?
So I think when it comes to the blockchain, it is essentially the public ledger of what activity and what transfer of value is occurring. And so in this industry, we had the rude awakening as VidAngel when we were sued by a couple of the biggest media companies in the world, that this industry is filled with litigation and disputes. And the crypto world is this great world where you can have a trustless relationship, but you can trust it because you know what the rules are and you're able to participate those rules and everybody gets to see them play out. And so I think that our real opportunity here is around transparency and openness and a shared set of rules to remove waste and cost out of this industry. I think that's where the real opportunity is, and I think that is the case for advertisers as well, because every single advertiser, the publishers and the advertisers both want to know that the value is properly being exchanged there, and there's so much opaqueness in the industry that can be removed by adopting a shared set of rules around a technology like blockchain.
So as you mentioned, the Chosen on Easter Sunday will start season two. What's next after that?
So the Chosen is going to be coming out on a regular basis because of COVID and a terrible ice storm in Texas. So Chosen season two was shot half in Goshen, Utah, and half in near Dallas, Texas. And during the Dallas, Texas stage, they had an ice storm that put them out of commission for a while. And so the whole production is running behind. So we're getting out episode one on Easter Sunday, and then we're going to be releasing the other episodes as fast as they become available. And so that's really exciting for the Chosen project. We also have some documentaries on what the experience was like of filming the Sermon on the Mount. So that's an event in the Bible where thousands of people came and heard Jesus speak, or we don't know exactly how many people, but we invited people who paid it forward to come and participate, and we had over 4,000 people RSVP, but with the ice storm, can you believe it? Still 2,200 people showed up for that film shoot, and we did documentaries on what that experience was like, and we're going to be publishing those as well in conjunction with the launch of season two of The Chosen. So really exciting times for The Chosen. As for Angel Studios, there's a whole bunch of projects that are about ready to be launched for crowdfunding, so watch out for those. Go to angelstudios.com and you can check out the projects and follow these creators and get involved in the things that you want to see made. Our motto is be part of stories that matter, and we invite you to be part of it.
And there you go. Like Neil just said, if you want more details about his venture and what some of the new projects are coming from it, both near and both soon and later on, here's where you go online, angelstudios.com. It's A-N-G-E-L studios, plural, .com, angelstudios.com. And we're going to invite the folks of The Chosen, by the way, to come on our program as soon as possible, given that that is going to be launching on Easter Sunday, this Sunday, which, by the way, is also the conclusion of Passover as well. And we would love to interview as many show creators, just to let you know, open invite, Neil, that as your new shows come on, we'd love to have your creators on our program to discuss about how they get
Thank
their
you,
work
Simon.
Going and their thoughts about the crowdfunding explosion, too.
Thank you, Simon. We appreciate the offer. I'm sure we'll take you up on it.
You got it. Neil, thanks again for rejoining us. Congratulations on your new Angel Studios venture, and hopefully a lot of exciting programs to come in the months and years ahead.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Neil. Take care. Have a great, great rest of your week and a great Easter Sunday, too.
And have a great Passover.
Will do. Take care. Neil Harmon from Angel Studios joining us live from Provo, Utah. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. More of our program coming up, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com from Amazon. If you want to have a very unusual tale to tide you over, let's say, on this holiday weekend. We've got Good Friday on Friday, and we will be on, by the way, on Good Friday at our regular time, speaking to the Pacific. How about this little tale by D.E. Schwab called The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue? You've never heard a kind of tale in this genre quite like this, and you can hear it because it's now an Audible audiobook, and it can be yours with a one-month trial to Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider. Can't say that enough. The leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including where you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Rebel, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Very simple. audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, health and wellness information for a limited time, great customer service along with a one-month trial from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Plus, if you are already a Amazon Prime member, good luck for you. And good news, too. Two audiobooks for your trial, including one from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcasts, Best of Broadway, Off-Broadway Regional Theater, as well as great one-woman and one-man performances. So if you've got someone you know or love that you'd like to maybe give a great gift of this holiday weekend or beyond, how about a trial run with Audible.com? Can't do better because it's a great way for you or someone you know to hear how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world, or they too. For all the details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up at the top of the hour, Linda Berman, the executive producer of the brand-new Lifetime movie, Mahalia, based on the life of the gospel music great and civil rights advocate Mahalia Jackson, with Mahalia played by the brilliant performer Daniel Brooks. Linda Byrne will join us live from Los Angeles. She's the executive producer of that program, which is on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. But first, we revisit one of the new networks on smart TV sets and devices that we brought you the news on first last spring, Loop. Doc Bucello, its founder and chief executive, will join me from Atlanta when we come back after the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalk, radio, speaker, and tune in radio, together reaching over 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, tomorrow, it's another episode of Kings in the Morning. Check out Jay King and his wonderful crew tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half hour of three, our 90-minute edition this midweek of the Tomorrow Be Televised, the program about TV's current and future. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us for our final episode of March 2021. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, well, just give us a call and we will take it. 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up on the top of this hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. Three prizes today, including the brand new book from MSNBC anchor person Richard Lee, Enough About Me, The Unexpected Power of Selflessness. If you've been listening to this program over the last year and change, you know that we have brought you many a new television network that is running exclusively or primarily on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And they have become some of our best episodes, most listened to episodes, in fact, over the course of these many, many months. In fact, one of our biggest episodes this month in terms of Blog Talk Radio listenership was our episode recently about book, storybook-oriented smart TV programming service. Well, about a year ago, we introduced you to maybe one of the most unique services of this group. It's called Loop, L-O-U-P-E. It's a video art service. And at the time, we interviewed two of the key people behind it when they were starting to make their move on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Last week, Loop debuted on Samsung smart TV sets, Samsung being the major provider of smart TV sets in this country and around the world. And incidentally, Samsung will be one of the participants in the upcoming digital content new fronts for the first time, along with Vizio, and that'll be happening in the first week of May. We're rejoining us live from Atlanta, Georgia, to talk about what's going on with Loop, including the Samsung deal, is its founder and chief executive, Doc Bucello. Doc, welcome back. Good to have you.
Hi, Simon. Great to be here.
So, Doc, bring us up to speed on what's been happening with your service over the last year, including the deal last week with Samsung.
Sure. We're very excited about this launch on Samsung. This is our first time bringing the Loop Art streaming experience in 4K to living room TVs. And I have to say that it's extraordinary seeing the art with this kind of color brilliance and contrast. It's very exciting, and we believe even closer to the vision of our artists to be able to display it with that kind of detail. As far as what happened in 2020 for Loop, our audience grew. I believe it ended up being over 80x. And, you know, we were thrilled to be able to bring the experience of streaming music and art together in the home while all of us were spending so much more time at home, to be able to offer this service and have it be something that you can leave on literally all day and all night in the background while you're working from home, while you're kicking back and relaxing at home. So in 2020, we had a couple of major launches, starting with our 24/7 linear channel on Pluto TV. And that's channel 694 on Pluto TV in the U.S. And then we also launched a fantastic partnership as well with Comcast Xfinity, where we have the full Loop app experience on X1 and Flex devices. And yes, last week was very exciting with a handful of launches, in fact. Samsung TV. We have a 24/7 linear channel, channel number 1220 on Samsung TV Plus. We also launched on Local Now, owned by the Weather Group, and our Pluto TV experience expanded internationally in EU countries and Latin America and Brazil. I won't bore you with all the channel numbers around the world on Pluto, but very exciting to bring the experience to more international audiences.
And we should point out that Local Now is from the Weather Channel, owned by Byron Allen's company, Entertainment Studios, and Allen Media Group, among his various cable network holdings, as well as he has the Griot.TV, which is running on smart TV services that started back in January around Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and so on and so forth. For those who haven't seen Loop, is the art presented in a still manner, or is there animation involved? I just want to give people more of a sense out there of,
sure.
of when they tune into your service, what they're seeing,
what they're
or
have?
How they're seeing it.
Yeah. We have, we like to think of Loop as somewhere between a Netflix or a Spotify for art, in that our vision is to be displaying every type of art, every medium of art. So there are collections of motion art, digital video art, different words for the same thing. The art moves within itself. And we have those types of collections. And then outside of the motion art, we animate high-resolution digital images of every kind of art, from fine art paintings to mixed media. Of course, photography typically already is a high-resolution image. Also still art that was created and generated within the computer. And we animate the art insofar as it pans across the screen so that you're seeing the entirety of the piece of art before it transitions to the next piece. We do this for a few reasons. We believe that when people turn on their TV, they are unconsciously and consciously expecting the image to be a moving image. And by introducing this panning over the artwork, it introduces that element of motion even to still art. And our users and audiences have described that experience as tranquil, this slow movement of the still art.
Mm-hmm. How do you find the art that you run on Loop, and where and when you
sure.
run it? What is sort of the factors behind where it gets played, how it gets played, and so forth?
So as far as where we find the art, we invite artists to submit work for consideration, and they are reaching out to us from all over the world. Kind of neat. Yesterday I was excited when our curator shared this phenomenal artist in Brazil that saw Loop streaming on Pluto TV in Brazil, and it literally just launched, and he reached out to inquire how he could submit his work. So artists are finding us, and they can reach out to us through our Instagram, loop.art, or through our website at info.loopart.com. And also our curator is reaching out selectively to artists that we believe will help us continue to expand the spectrum that we are displaying on TVs, and that will translate well in this context of viewing it on a TV in the home as well as out of home. Not to leave out of all of our 2020 launches, a phenomenal new partnership with Caesars Entertainment where we're streaming in various casinos in Las Vegas. Very, very exciting to bring this kind of experience to people that are relaxing, enjoying themselves, sitting in a bar or a restaurant, and able to have a little bit of culture in that experience.
We're talking about Luke.
So you are asking, I didn't answer.
Okay, go ahead,
Dot. Your whole question, I realized you were asking, but if you want to move on to another one that works for me too, I think you were asking something about how we pick the collections or theme
how you
the
pick
collections.
And also how you determine when it runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So first off, there's two types of loop experiences in the home. On Samsung TV Plus, as on Pluto, we have a 24/7 linear channel where we are setting in partnership with our TV partners what collection comes on at 3 p.m. versus 6 p.m. We also have our owned and operated TV apps, such as on Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Android, and Comcast, where it's a loop app experience where you can pick from any of our collections any time of day as a user. You can decide you want the Tranquil Art or that you want the collection called Happy Hour. Maybe when you wake up in the morning, you want that to be Happy Hour. Right?
So it's like you be the art connoisseur.
So you can, on our owned and operated apps, you can select which collection you want to watch. On the linear channels, we're kind of deciding that for you of this is a great collection that you might want to see at 11 p.m. at night. And, you know, we're finding that audiences like both. You know, we like choice, and sometimes we don't even want the choice. We're just in the mood for a loop experience. And they're just kind of trusting that we have beautiful collections, beautifully curated collections. Something kind of neat about the linear channels, such as on Samsung TV Plus, we have synchronized music with that experience. And that kind of completes the atmospheric experience, a full visual and audio experience. With our owned and operated apps, such as on Apple TV or Apple TV or Amazon Fire, you can run any music app that you'd like in the background and pick out what kind of music you want to listen to. We don't choose it on the apps.
Well, now we'll pause and let you know that you're hearing about Loop, mm-hmm. the video art channel that's running on most smart TV sets and smart devices, and as of last week, Samsung smart TV sets. We've got the founder and chief executive officer of the service, Dr. Stiller, with us live from Atlanta this half hour on Tuabi Televised. We're happy to have you with us also on this special midweek edition of the program about TV's current and future. We're usually on Mondays and Fridays at this very hour on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and Tuner Radio. Simon Apple with you live from New York. 64 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Doc, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And don't forget, coming up before the top of the hour, our classic trivia question segment. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have three prizes in store for you, including the new book from our guest on Monday, MSNBC anchor person Richard Lee, Enough About Me, The Unexpected Power of Selflessness. And if you missed our episode on Monday, well, check it out on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. It says televised. Check out the podcast available now in 24/7 at everybody from iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Verbal. Since our last conversation, Doc, what have you learned about who's watching your service and what their tastes are?
I'm pausing and I'm thinking. I can tell you that a couple of the most popular collections are the lifestyle-driven collections. The abstract collection, people love it. but what continues to be a top performer is a collection of our art called Tranquil, and the collection I was kind of joking about before called Happy Hour, which isn't specifically a genre of art, but it speaks to loop being a new way to enjoy and discover art, to connect it to a mood that you're in. So as far as what kind of people, what we've learned about our audiences, I can't give you, I can't drill down to age per se, or what part of the country is using loop more. We get more general usage data from each of the TV platforms. kind of neat was seeing almost a heat map from one of our TV partners that saw very heavy usage of loop after 9, 10 p.m. at night. And then this odd little peak period in the middle of the afternoon. So I don't know if people are looking for some tranquility or a burst of energy in the middle of the afternoon, but that was the time of day that we were getting peaks in usage. I get it being something that people are drawn to in the evening and later at night, where there's a little teaser here. We're working on a new collection that will be called After Hours, as far as visual art that we think people will enjoy late at night. But otherwise, you know, we're continuing to see very strong performance all over the world with our platform. Just seeing the data that came in from one of the TV platforms, we're seeing very strong usage in Brazil and Mexico. And, you know, our Apple TV audience, we're now up to being the number one lifestyle app in 61 countries. So it again, speaks to the type of experience that we're creating being universal, something that is a global experience that can be appreciated, extraordinary art to discover and enjoy in your home all day, all night, with or without the accompaniment of music.
Mm-hmm. In this television environment, Dot, we have now individual creators of TV series, scripted, unscripted, are making program development deals with a Netflix or with an NBC Universal or a Warner Media or Warner Brothers or a Hulu or an Amazon or a Apple TV Plus, where they will produce the programming for them, for the most part, for their platform. I'm wondering if Luke has looked at the idea of making such exclusive deals or first look deals with individual artists or with individual museums or individual collectors in terms of art. And if not now, do you see that being the case maybe down the road?
Absolutely. We're having a number of conversations with every type of entity that you just named, from museums to collectors to artists that we've already had some individual artists reach out to us with some exciting ideas for streams that would be dedicated to a single artist. One of the newer collections of motion art on Pluto TV is featuring one singular motion artist. And really, sky's the limit with what we're doing. And we can stream by anything within the Loop platform. So we see infinite possibilities for types of art collections that we could stream and loop.
Mm-hmm. Don Postello is the founder and chief executive of Loop, the video art channel now running on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices, most recently, as of last week, Samsung smart TV sets all over the place. And she is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Don will be live from New York. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Dot, make that call go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Second of three episodes we're doing this week, second three-episode week we are doing this month, going into April. And, yes, we will be on Good Friday, at least for a half hour. So three Vimeos to Pacific, we'll have the latest news notes of that Good Friday. And we may have a commentary or two if we don't have a guest, plus Classic Trivia Segment 2. That's all coming up on our Good Friday edition of the program. That's this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Also, Dot, we are becoming more and more of an interactive television environment because of the fact that these smart TV sets and smart devices now are getting more interactive features. You now have the ability through artificial intelligence audio features like Alexa, Siri, Google Assistant to control the set with your voice as well as your remote control. How soon do you see an interactive aspect to Loop, where let's say you, the viewer, can control what you want to see at any given time. If you see a particular collection or an artist's work, you see the art in certain angles, and you play, let's say, director of the video you're watching. You call up information about the artist or the collection or the museum or the view providing it. Or let's say you even go so far as, I'll create my own artwork, and I'll do it interactively, and I'll use my voice to control which way the paint goes or the sculpture goes, and then show it on the air.
Well, that's a very specific application of interactivity to be part of the creative process of the art. As far as an interactive experience with the art, we already offer quite a bit of that with our Apple TV app, which was the first platform we launched on. By the way, just if anyone was listening a few minutes ago, the artist I wanted to call out who wanted to deliver a full 1 hour collection of his motion art that we delivered to Pluto, his name is Simon Alexander Adams, and it's extraordinary work. And that's the episode 2 of our hypnotic visual series. But as far as the interactivity, on our Apple TV app, you can swipe up on the art and find out more information about the art, click through and purchase that art as far as fine art prints that we print on demand and ship to the customer. So that's sort of our home shopping network, QVC, type of interactivity that was built into the Apple TV app experience as well as into the Loop web streaming experience that you can click into the art and click through to purchase it. You can also, on Apple TV, you can favorite the art. And then the art that you've favorited will populate your own personal gallery so you can, in effect, watch the art that you like best. You know, the team has a lot of ideas for more interactivity, and it will be a matter of whether the users really, really want that or they just want more beautiful lean-back streaming experiences of the art. And we're ready for both scenarios. We have not yet integrated voice commands into the app experience. We're a young company, and we look forward to that so that you can just call out, I want to see more red art and I want to see more sunsets. Of course, on our Apple TV and web streaming apps, you can flip the home screen to stream by color or to stream by individual artist, which is kind of a neat feature that we offer for artists that are accepted onto the platform that, in effect, they have their own TV channel around the world through Loop. But interactivity, it's interesting to see both with our app experience, like on Apple TV, that is highly interactive. yet also the rapidly growing audiences on Pluto TV and Samsung that are less interactive, but just giving people this full sensory experience of audiovisual. So time will tell how much our audiences want more interactivity. We're ready to do it if they are.
I'll tell you, Dot, you may have just broken some news because Apple TV has not talked about this at all, the ability that using your app, for example, you can buy what you see on the air and do it on the spur of the moment. Two more questions for you. One, when do you think we will see other smart TV sets and devices have that ability to for people to purchase from home and on the fly using a television set? And the other thing is we now have an environment of augmented reality that's really popping. You know, we're seeing it on everything from Portal TV, the Facebook smart TV device, where you can create on the fly animation using augmented reality, to what we're seeing on various programming services. For example, Nickelodeon, when they did the NFL playoff game, where they had the augmented reality end zone with the gap running out in green when somebody scored a touchdown, to what now is becoming standard on local newscasts and on the Weather Channel, where you have the bars that show on the screen what the temperatures are going to be. Or in the case of CNBC, for example, Dominic Chu, I saw him on Squawk Box, now have these vertical bars of stocks on the move and why they're on the moving. So I'm curious whether augmented reality has a role to play in your service.
It does, and we have many conversations about that with some of the extended members of the Loop team that are deeply involved with AR and VR experiences. Whatever we implement with Loop, we want to make sure it's intentional and not just layering on top of the Loop experience for the sake of adding some trendy tech to Loop. So we're working on that and thinking through what would be an intentional application of augmented reality for Loop audiences, how many extra devices they want to be holding in their hand or putting on their face while they experience Loop. But we are giving it attention. And it's an exciting space for sure. If I've really enjoyed many of the AR and VR experiences that I've been introduced to. It's very, very powerful and definitely will have a place in Loop. Maybe when we have our conversation 12 months from now, I'll have a little bit more to share with you.
The name of the service is Loop, and you can find it on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices, including Apple TV, as you heard, as well as Samsung TV sets, which offered the service for the first time last week. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, info.loopart, that's L-U-P-E-R.com, that's info.loopart.com. And you, by the way, sometimes if you just take out the info, just go to loopart.com, you probably will be able to get the screen as well. Again, the place you go, online, info, or just loopart, L-U-P-E-R.com. Dr. Pacelle, the founder and chief executive of LoopArt, thank you again for joining. It's been a pleasure all the way. Very engaging conversation.
Thanks,
a lot's been happening with you over the year, and it's happy to see that more people have the opportunity now to access what you're doing. And all the very best this year ahead. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Simon. Take care.
You too.
Bye
all
now.
The greatest. Dr. Pacelle from Loop, joining us live from Atlanta, Georgia. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We got three prizes in play this Wednesday, one of them being the brand-new book from MSNBC anchor person journalist Richard Lee called Enough About Me, The Unexpected Power of Selfishness, published by HarperCollins label On Demand Books. Plus, two musical prizes, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, the score by the great John Williams, and Wyclef Jean, Carnival Volume 2, Memoirs of an Immigrant. Here's the question. On the TV series Bazaar and then later Super Dave, remember the stunt driver Super Dave Osborne played by the late great variety show producer Bob Einstein? Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcer and sidekick? Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcer and sidekick? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and address. First with the correct answer, you win. And if we don't get an answer by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. When we come back, Lifetime's special movie about a very special human being, Mahalia Jackson, premieres this Saturday night. The executive producer, Linda Berman, joins me for an internet radio exclusive live from Los Angeles. All that when we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. Once again, you're listening to www.blogtalkradio.com, spreaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for Paranormal Ride. Check it out tonight. It's paranormal like you've never heard it. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Paranormal Ride exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of this 90 edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Last one for March 2021 on the final day of the month. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Remember those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. And if, by the way, you're celebrating Passover, all Jewish listeners, we hope you're having a great first half. And the second half is even better. I would start tonight, by the way, 4 days and nights ahead. Great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. We invite you to be interactive with her. Just give us a call, 646-652-2906. 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget the chat room is still in business, SimonApple04 by name. It's available for you at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. In recent months, Lifetime has had a great track record made for TV movies. For example, about a year ago, they had an incredible movie about a terrific gospel group called the Clark Sisters. The show did very, very well. It was one of their highest rated made for TV movies at that time, and also won a bunch of special award nominations. Well, Saturday night, another movie about a very special woman in the world of gospel will be on. It's called Mahalia, about Mahalia Jackson. And if you don't know who Mahalia Jackson is, you ought to. She was not only one of the great gospel music and musical legends of all time, she was also one of the great civil rights advocates of all time. In fact, if Martin Luther King Jr. did not say that I have a dream speech, well, because he did at that March on Washington more than 50 years ago, he did because Mahalia Jackson. We will explain. Joining me now to talk about the movie Mahalia, which premieres 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific this Saturday night on Lifetime, is its executive producer from Los Angeles, Linda Berman. Linda, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Simon.
It is a pleasure. This usually would be the last question of an interview like this, Linda. What do you want people who see your movie on Saturday night to know about Mahalia Jackson the most?
Oh, it's a difficult question because there's so much about Mahalia that is fascinating and unknown. I think, you know, the people that do know her know she was the queen of gospel, but she was also, as you mentioned, incredibly involved with the civil rights movement. And we'll talk about her relationship with Martin Luther King in a bit. She was also an incredibly successful businesswoman. And she was born in 1911, and in the 30s and 40s, she started her own businesses. She had a beauty salon, and then it grew into a franchise of beauty salons. She owned apartment buildings and had, rental income property for years and years that was always full. And she would just, you know, she didn't let anything stop her. She was a woman ahead of her time. And having grown up as a very poor young woman in New Orleans, nobody saw this coming. She came up to Chicago to be a nurse. And started singing, and that took off. But before she was singing, she had Mahalia's Beauty Salon. So I think there's so much about her.
She was probably the first gospel music singer to make it on television in terms of being a guest performer. And if you've ever seen the movie Imitation of Life, which is on Turner Classic Movies regularly, you know that she steals the show near the very end of the film in one of the last scenes, giving that incredible song in the church.
Well, it's, you know, she had a voice to that you couldn't stop listening to. It was just incredible with the power. And, you know, she never did a song the same way twice. She always put her own kind of twists into it and runs. And she was very physical when she sang, and her wigs would go flying, and she'd get on her knees. And she was just powerful, very powerful. And she always said that it wasn't that she was
she was spreading the word of God. God was speaking through her. This was her job in life. This was the thing that made her as important as she was, is that God spoke to her, and she made a vow early on to not sing anything but religious music, gospel music, anything that the good Lord would approve of. And she had many, many opportunities to sing secular music, Broadway, all kinds of things. And when she went on CBS radio, which was phenomenal for any woman at that time, but especially an African-American woman, she made sure, even though you'll see in the movie that she had to kind of write some songs that weren't exactly religious, but she made sure that she sang gospel music on the show. And she was on the Ed Sullivan show. And she was just so far ahead of her time and, you know, known throughout the world, did European tours, did the Newport Jazz Festival, sang in Carnegie Hall, and to, you know, not just black audiences. It was a very mixed white and black audience that appreciated her music.
Mm-hmm. People who know you, Linda, know that you have been in the business of doing made-for-TV movies for quite some time. When did the idea of doing a Mahalia Jackson biopic pop on your radar screen, and what finally got it to get produced at Lifetime?
Well, I've been working with Robin Roberts for about 5 years and doing her scripted projects. And Robin and I were approached by Tanya Lopez at Lifetime and said, you know, we really want to do something about Mahalia Jackson. And we thought about it and did some research on her. We both knew who she was, especially Robin, who'd grown up on her music. But we came up with a take on how to tell this story in a way that wasn't just kind of a, you know, birth to death story. And it was written originally by a fabulous writer named Bettina Gilois, who very sadly died about a year ago. At the time, we were still looking for a director, looking for an actor, and hoping to do another rewrite on the movie. So after the Clark sisters did so well, we kind of got back into it. At the same time, Kenny Leon, this was right after COVID had hit, Kenny Leon had been back in his home in Atlanta, like all of us, trying to fill the hours with things that kept you busy and not thinking about the pandemic. And every morning he'd get up and he'd listen to an hour and a half of Mahalia Jackson. And then he'd read his Bible and then he'd meditate. And that was the beginning of his day. Well, unbeknownst to us, he called Tanya Lopez, for whom he'd done Steel Magnolias years ago, and said, you know, what do you got? What projects have you got? And she said, well, I'm going to send you this script. Not knowing that he'd been listening to Mahalia for months, and he got the script and said, this is the only thing I want to do. So when Robin and I got on the phone with him, we said, who do you see? And he said, Danielle Brooks. She's the only one I can see to play this role because she's an actor and a singer, not a singer who acts. She's an actor who sings. And boy, does she sing. She has got the pipes. And simultaneously, you know, she'd been on Broadway doing The Color Purple, and Jennifer Hudson had said to her, you should be playing Mahalia Jackson. You look somewhat like her. You have the same kind of voice. You have the same energy. And so Danielle has wanted to play Mahalia Jackson for 10 years. So it was really just an incredible coming together of all this talent that made this work so well. And as Kenny said, we were kind of anointed because we got all of the actors we want. We got Jacquina Calacanco, who was Tony nominated for Slave Play. Olivia Washington, who Kenny and I had both worked with before, happened to be up in Vancouver where we were filming this. So she finished her film right as we were starting ours, and we got her to come in, and they all knew one another. So it was just a kind of a love fest doing this movie.
And the movie we're talking about is Mahalia, the biopic about Mahalia Jackson, really one of the great musical talents of all time. And as we'll talk in a little bit, also one of the very important behind-the-scenes civil rights advocates of all time. The film premieres this Saturday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time on Lifetime on cable and satellite. We've got executive producer Linda Berman with us live from Los Angeles in Internet Radio exclusive on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy year long on this midweek. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, final day of March 2021. With a question or comment for Linda, by all means, be interactive with us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Once again, we have a third episode coming your way. We will be on Good Friday live, 3:50 Pacific, right here on Tomorrow. We'll be televised. We are still trying to get a guest for that episode, and we'll keep you posted in our social media, Facebook and Twitter feeds, about what does take place. Linda, once Danielle was signed up to be Mahalia, mm-hmm. how did she rehearse the character? How did you and Kenny, everyone involved, really try to really make the most of her performance?
Well, you know, Danielle was so familiar with Mahalia's music because she, in fact, had been attached to a different Mahalia project that never went anywhere. So she'd done all the research. She'd read the books and watched documentaries and knew the songs. And so one of the first things we did is we pre-recorded all of the songs that she then ended up singing live, but we wanted them pre-recorded just in case there was any glitch on set. And so she and Kenny did that in Atlanta, and she really felt the spirit of Mahalia as she was singing these songs in our recording studio. And the other thing that she did, Kenny and Danielle were both co-EPs on this project. So they were so involved in the development. And we, after Bettina passed, we got another writer, a wonderful writer by the name of Todd Kreidler, who Kenny had worked with many times because Todd had been August Wilson's writing partner for 16 years. So he started doing the rewrite, and Danielle, Kenny, and I were in lockstep with him the whole way and gave notes. And there were parts of this that Danielle thought were very important, like putting in some medical history of Mahalia and how a black woman in that time dealt with white hospitals and white doctors. And that was something that was important to her. So she really wanted this to feel real and specifically get the right touches for Mahalia. And you'll see in the movie, she does all of the same moves. She studied Mahalia for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I learned about Mahalia Jackson, sort of a roundabout way, was that she really was responsible for Martin Luther King actually delivering the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
those who know this, I just want to quickly brief the story and then let you take it from there, which is the fact that March on Washington, 500,000 people, beforehand, Martin Luther King was told by all sorts of people, don't you dare do that speech. You do that speech, which I didn't think he'd done before, but not in such a big venue, outdoors before so many people. You do that speech, there'll be rioting, there'll be looting all over the place. And pick it up from there and tell me if
right.
it does appear in the movie. And if so, what was it like to film that scene?
So after, you know, he had spoken to Mahalia so many times, he asked her to come down and sing for one of his fundraisers, a bus boycott. And that was her first meeting with him, and they hit it off stupendously, and from there became incredibly close friends. So she had heard him speak about this dream that he had many, many times. And when he got up to the podium at the March of Washington and started reading this other speech, because he'd been advised by all of his friends and people who were advising him, she could tell that he was losing the audience. And she looked over at him and said, tell him about the dream, Martin. And he looked at her and she said, tell him about the dream. And he folded up the paper and put it in his pocket and started talking about, I have a dream. And that was it. The crowd went crazy. And we may never have heard that dream if it hadn't been for Mahalia Jackson. And we filmed that at in Vancouver at this beautiful art museum that looks like Lincoln Memorial. And as you might know, the King family is very careful about the rights to Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches. So we could not use the speech. What we used, what we did is use what was important about that in our story, which is her saying to him, tell him about the dream. And you see the look on his face and he puts away the paper. We don't hear the speech, but you know it's coming.
Yeah. I believe at one point she actually yelled it. It was like a whisper, and then it was like louder, and then she was like, Martin, tell about the dream. And then,
yeah.
You know, I have a dream.
Yeah. She was not going to shut up about that. So, yes, she did. She tried to whisper it, but she was far enough away, and then he wasn't paying attention. So, but they were very, very close, and she sang Precious Lord at his funeral. Which is he had asked her to do that. She also sang at JFK's inauguration. She was very well known and well loved in all over the world.
As Kenny was directing, Danielle was acting, everybody else involved, you're watching things. How quickly did it gel? How quickly did you get the sense of this is going to be some special movie? This is not, you know, my typical made for TV. And by the way, I've seen your resume. You have done some very, very good, really some outstanding made for TV movies. Way back when you did a film, I understand you were involved with a film on TNT called Heat Wave with James Earl Jones, who won the Emmy, Award. And also won an Emmy Award for that.
Yep. And the dearly departed Cicely Tyson, who was responsible for me meeting my husband at that movie because he represented her. It was a fabulous movie. But back to your question, honestly, we knew it the night that we had a cast dinner before we even started. It was Olivia Washington, Jaquina, Danielle, my line producer and dear friend Mo Bardak, Kenny and me. And it just had come together so easily in a way. Jaquina was on board right away. As I said, Olivia came on. She'd done her very first movie for me, Madoff, about Bernie Madoff. It was her. She said she was so nervous in that moment, in that scene, that she had one scene as an FBI agent that comes to arrest Bernie Madoff. And we all, it was like we'd known each other for years. And in fact, Kenny and Danielle had known each other quite a while, and Jaquina and Danielle had gone to Juilliard together. So, and they all knew Olivia. So it was just this moment of like, we said a prayer before dinner, and Kenny just said, well, this movie's anointed. And it really was. It was the easiest movie I've ever done. There were no problems. There was no drama. Even in the middle of COVID, everybody wearing masks, it was just, the magic was there. And when you saw, when we first heard Danielle sing, especially when it was at Carnegie Hall and she belted out How I Got Over, I mean, the crew just stopped in their tracks. It's magical to hear her. She's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Since you brought up Cicely Tyson, who passed away earlier this year, it should be noted that Lifetime gave her one of her outstanding final performances on television, The Trip to Bountiful, that wonderful movie based on the great Horton Foote play. And she really delivered the goods, just like Geraldine Page did it in movies way back when.
Yes.
And it was a marvelous performance. We had the executive producer, by the way, on that. That happened, by the way, when Tomorrow Be Televised was simulcast on Brooklyn Independent Media on television, and we had the executive at the time. I just want to say, Emmy Award people, how about a Lifetime Achievement Award posthumously for Tyson this year? Think about that. First time I've said that.
There you go. What's she?
So, come on, TV Academy, make it happen. One of the most amazing actresses ever. Yeah.
Ever. And a lovely, lovely person. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen her career from the get-go, and just one of the most brilliant, brilliant actresses ever. She never gave an awful performance, and TV was one of the big, big things when she was not cooking movies after that fantastic performance in Sounder, which I've said it before and I'll say it again, how she did not win that Oscar for that role, especially when you see the running scene, is beyond me. But thank God television gave her some really, from Jane Pittman to Trip to Bountiful, a great gallery of marvelous performances.
Absolutely. And she was wonderful in Heat Wave. She had a small role. She was the grandmother of Blair Underwood. But it was so important to her to do a movie about the Watts riot, as it was to James Earl Jones and Blair. And I'll never forget her.
Yep.
Amazing person.
That goes for millions of people all over the world, for sure. Linda Berman, executive producer of Mahalia, the new Lifetime movie on the life and great career of Mahalia Jackson, which is on this Saturday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Linda's our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. You have a final thought or two you want to get in by phone or chat room, please do so, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You mentioned that this is the latest of your work with Robin. What's it been like working with Robin on these made-for-TV movies for Lifetime?
Oh, heaven. She is just she's everything you see on television. She is real and generous and supportive and funny, and boy, can she do an interview. We were just on a call earlier, and she, you know, she's the one that's talking, and yet she ends up interviewing everybody else that's calling in and asking things. But she's creative, and she's got really high standards, which I love. And, you know, she speaks the truth. She really does. She is exactly who you see on television. There's nothing forced about her. So I adore her, and I can't wait to continue to work with her. We've done two movies, and we have two more that are going into production soon, and several more in development, and some series.
Can you tell us the subject matter, what those movies will be about?
I can't tell you about one, but I can tell you about another, which is about a family in Duluth, Minnesota. Yeah, woman and her two kids and a husband and their child together. Three kids. They ended up fostering her niece, her sister's child, because her sister had OD'd from the kind of very prevalent methamphetamine addiction in their town. After that, and once they realized they were going to have, they wanted to keep this child, they ended up, in our story, taking in four siblings who had the same predicament that their mother had OD'd. In real life, they took in 15 children, adopted them all, and they were all victims of their parents' meth abuse. So it's a really, you know, it's a movie about this kind of epidemic of drug abuse in the United States, but it's a heartfelt movie about family and what it means to be family, even if you're not from the same parents. So we're going to be shooting that in the summer, in July, and that's also for Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And we did
a
pilot last.
Was Mahalia impacted by the coronavirus pandemic? Did you have to do anything different than everybody originally was plotting to do because of the virus?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we knew once it was going into production that we'd have to do it in with COVID protocol. But Vancouver Canada had a much smaller incidence of COVID, so we could go up there. We still had to quarantine. Anybody that came in from the U.S. had to quarantine for 2 weeks, and they are serious about their quarantines. If you step out of your building and you're caught, it's a $750,000 fine. Stayed put, and obviously locals could come to set, but everybody wore a mask 24/7. We were, temperature tested every day, and if you weren't feeling well, you didn't come in, and you were still paid for your day, and the actors and director were tested several times a week, and we had no incidents. We were very, very lucky and kept it very safe. Everybody washed their hands. We sanitized. There were mouthwashes that the actors had to use every 15 minutes. So it's a little different. It's not as kind of, not as fun because you can't be chatting away with everybody and you have to kind of keep your distance, but it was still, we did our job. And I hope that's the last time I have to do a COVID protocol movie, but it probably won't be. It's going to stick around for a little bit just to be safe.
The new Lifetime movie, Mahalia, the biopic of Mahalia Jackson with Danielle Brooks playing that incredible gospel singer and civil rights advocate. It premieres this Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on Lifetime. Check the local link for where the network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.mylifetime.com. That's www.mylifetime.com. Mahalia, the latest The Robert Robbins Presents made-for-TV movie series, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on Lifetime Television. Linda Berman, the executive producer of the program, thank you again for joining us. Congrats with you, Robin, Danielle, everybody involved. I have a hunch it's a winner. I've seen clips of it. Get out there and see if you can. It's a very special made-for-TV movie and another one of the great Lifetime films that's been popping up on that network over the last year or two. Thanks again for coming on. All the very best to you and everybody involved.
Thank you so much, Simon. Have a good day.
You too, Linda. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Linda Berman, executive producer of Mahalia, joining us live from Los Angeles. I want to thank all of our guests today for being on. This has been a very engaging and enlightening 90 minutes for you on this Wednesday afternoon to wrap up March 2021. And if you missed any part of the program, well, catch us on the homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It'll be posted there in a couple of minutes. And it'll also go on podcast, available on Apple TV, iTunes, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, Amazon Music, Verbal, and, of course, iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And one more time, let's give you the classic trivia question. Who is Super Dave Osborne's announcer and sidekick? If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Fine. And you can also, if we don't get the answer by the end of today, post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Again, thanks to all of you for tuning in. Be with us again for our Good Friday edition. We will be live, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on the Marvel Televised. Then we'll have two episodes coming your way next Monday and Friday. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our episode today? Boy, we had a lot of incredible information over the course of 90 minutes. Love to hear what you thought about it. And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also follow me on Facebook and LinkedIn and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWT. However you communicate, we do respond within 24 hours, and we want to hear from you. Why? Because more than ever before, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate, BTR, is Mandolin. Annie Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Mommy Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, 1 month trial and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you love. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. We'll be back less than 48 hours from now, Friday, Good Friday, 2021, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you have to be now and then, please make it safe, make it great. To all of our Jewish listeners, have a great second half of Passover that starts tonight. And hopefully join us again this Friday, again, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, live in Devo. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.